Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
You're going to get hard.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty, who's not in today, but Luke Murrow is in the building. Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the producer. Or the face that produces the place, Tyler Milner. One day I'll get that. we're in the building here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Thirsty Thursday here, live in spring, right off Grand Parkway. Make your way on out here. We're still hooking folks up in the 5 o'clock hour. We got prizes for you to win. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box, and you got a chance to win. All right, the Astros are playing inspired. Christian Walker, he just went deep, and he's inspired. They're up 11-1, and all of this is due to Framber Valdez. Framber Valdez in what may be his final start. Tyler, I swear to God, we said this was going to happen, Luke. We said it. He's gone 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, one earned run on a home run and 2 walks.
Spoke it into existence.
I don't know. This has to rank up there near one of his best performances of the season.
One of ours,
it has
too.
To be. Out of the last time we've remembered seeing him look like an ace, you got to have it game. The season's on the line. Framber Valdez comes through. And, you know, I'm being silly, but whatever spark it could be, maybe the hair is not a spark. I think it is. But whatever spark it could be, Luke, they're one game back, really 2 games back of the Tigers. But the Tigers are in a bigger collapse than the Astros are right now. And if they win this game and the Tigers lose today, they will then pull to a game, or they will be tied with really a game back because they need to finish ahead of the Tigers due to them being behind in the tiebreaker. But they're right really back in this thing if they can win and the Tigers can continue to fall apart. And maybe this is the game that gives them the juice to get it going. They got 3 more against the Angels after this.
You'd like to think this gets them going. You know, they've been so lifeless lately, and then you go out and you score 11 runs today and everyone feels good, and, you know, winning is the best medicine. And you go on and take a bad Angels team that they've been checked out for a few weeks now, so you should be able to stack some wins. Hope you get some help from the fading Tigers. It's just the fact, though, that you come into this situation today, you have to make up 2 games in just 4 days. So
yeah,
the chips are somewhat stacked against you. And the other part, too, is that the Tigers play the Red Sox this weekend, and the Red Sox magic number is 1. So yeah, if they win tonight, they'll be in the playoffs. Now, you could talk about seeding, the different wild card spots, but, you know, they might prefer to just line up their pitching staff for the playoffs, regardless of where they might be playing. And so my point being, you don't know, even though the Tigers are fading, you don't know what you're going to get from the Red Sox against the Tigers
this
weekend.
And I'm guessing they'll throw Scooble out there one more time.
He's supposed to start Sunday.
Yeah.
But, for example, the Red Sox are already talking about not pitching their ace. Well, they're not going to pitch Crochet this weekend.
Yeah, he just pitched.
Save him for game 1, and then they might not pitch Giolito, their second starter, on Sunday and save him for the playoffs. So, point being, you just don't know what you're going to get with that help. And right now the Astros have put themselves in a position where they're going to need a little bit of help. Even if they win out, they're not going to necessarily be in the playoffs. So I would imagine this revitalizes them a little bit. Yeah. But it's still a tough spot to make up two games in 4 days.
Especially, I just hope the Tigers make this interesting. And, the Astros too. But yeah. I hope the Tigers make this thing interesting, and it comes down to something towards the end of the weekend. So we'll see. But they are a Framber, and to be honest, what Framber has been more times than not in his career here with the Astros, he gave us that performance, and he had it all rolling today. 10 strikeouts. The curveball was going. We'll see if he goes back out in the eighth. But he goes 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, and what may be his final start with the Astros. So also some other news here. Jeremy Pena, he was not in the lineup again today. Imaging revealed he has a left oblique strain. He has not played since the weekend, and he still feels pain when he swings, so they left him out. And then it was announced that Luis Garcia will miss the 2026 season. They've already announced that he had surgery again on that pitching arm, so they're going to be without him. So that is the latest there. We'll keep you updated here as the Astros are looking to salvage a win here in this series against the A's and put themselves back in it for the wild card.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros, they're trying to take care of business, and now the Texans are trying to take care of business and get their first win as well against the Titans this weekend. Let's head to the injury report here, and the big news that we could sit and look at is Derek Stingley Jr. The rest of it, Titus Howard, who missed yesterday with illness, he was a full participant. Nico Collins, full participant. Jake Andrews, who started last week, coming off that high ankle sprain he had against the Rams, he was limited. Jakob Johnson, the fullback, and Derek Stingley are the only ones who did not participate in practice this week. Obviously, the Derek Stingley Jr. one, that is the major one there, because he is arguably their best defensive player. He was an all-pro and a shutdown corner that you can do a lot of different things with. He is one of those guys, Luke, that if you don't have him, he changes the way that you have to play defense, because you can't use his replacement the way you would use him.
Yeah, certainly. It's not ideal. But, you know, as we've already been talking throughout the afternoon, as we look ahead to Sunday's matchup with the Titans, that this is probably the one week in the entire schedule, or the two times you face the Titans, where you could get by, you would like to think, knock on wood, you could get by without being at full strength, specifically on defense against this Titans offense. They're last in yards per play. They've struggled as much on offense as the Texans. Their offensive line's been terrible. Cam Ward has not been able to get on the same page as his receivers. So, you know, you hope you have everybody back for the following week, because as soon as you finish with the Titans, you have another tough stretch of opponents coming up.
Yep. But and the Ravens. Yep.
Yeah, Ravens, what, Seahawks, 49ers. So it doesn't get any easier after this Sunday, but you hope at home against the Titans. I mean, somehow, look, the Texans are 0-3, and somehow they're 7-point favorites this weekend. So, as bad as they've played, Vegas sees a big difference still between these two teams.
Yeah.
So you'd like to think you can survive without some of that help on the back end. But beyond this weekend, yeah, you know, if you were to lose Stingley for any longer, that's a huge loss.
Yeah, it is. And, this game, as you say, Calvin Ridley, him and Cam have not had a great connection thus far. And this is a game that you feel like you can get through without Derek Stingley. By the way, for the Titans, J.C. Latham did not practice for a second straight day. Their tackle, Kevin Zeitler, the guard, he was limited for a second straight day. And Cam Ward, who was limited yesterday, he was a full participant with an ankle and calf injury. So that is the injury report when it comes to the Tennessee Titans.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, it has been made official from the Houston Rockets, Luke, that Fred VanVleet, their guard, underwent successful surgery to repair his ACL in his right knee. The thought is that this is going to end his season. And we talked about this a bit, and I do think it is, to me, one of the first things that I thought about when you kind of saw this was going to be a longer injury, and that is there is a certain level of importance of Fred VanVleet. What is that level of importance for Fred? And is that level of importance something that is so high that changes your expectations for the Rockets? Because, yes, if Kevin Durant for some reason had to miss something, that would change it. Şengün, that would change it. To me, Amen Thompson, that would change it. Does Fred VanVleet fit into that role where it changes what your expectations were for the season?
He does. Yeah, he does for me. And admittedly, it might be more of a playoff concern than the course of a regular season. And I mentioned this earlier, but Vegas dropped their win total by 3. So Vegas feels like this is worth
really
3 wins. But for me, it's a bigger concern in the playoffs. Like, I think the Rockets will be fine throughout the regular season. They'll be one of the better teams in the Western Conference. They'll find a way to survive and win a bunch of games. But I think you need a lot of good ball handlers in the playoffs. I think you need veteran guards, more than one. And this was my concern, this position entering the season, even with Fred VanVleet. And now you take him away, it's just such a bigger concern for me, because I do not like the idea of relying on Reed Sheppard, who, by the way, played half as many minutes last year as the average lottery pick, and for a reason, but also that puts him behind some development. And I also don't like the other idea of Amen Thompson as your point guard. I don't think that is your best offensive setup. So that's another part of it for me, is you lose the shooting, you lose that veteran leadership, you lose that floor general. I think it hurts you in spacing for your offense, but more so, it's just because I don't think you have a great backup plan at that guard position. So when you lose Fred VanVleet, I think it really hurts this roster. Again, you get through the regular season, but come playoff time, I think that's when they're really going to feel that loss, unless Reed Sheppard really takes a step forward and steps up this year. Something like that.
Yeah, he's got to. I think Reed Sheppard and Amen Thompson, to me, are the answers there, especially in the lineup, right? I think the most, to me, I'd rather move Amen Thompson than to bring like a Holiday in the starting lineup, for me personally. And then, but when you move him in, that means you have to add shooting somewhere.
Yes.
And to me, Reed Sheppard makes sense. And those two guys, if they can go and they can play, it's time. Yeah, I mean, you drafted him number 3 overall, and this is a team that struggled shooting last year, and yet he couldn't get on the floor. Udoka didn't trust. Now, Udoka's also got to come to the table and give some leeway to what he trusts and what he doesn't. Right? He's got to give the kid a chance as well. But if you put him in, then also offset it with his shooting of Reed Sheppard. That to me is the best scenario. And then you see, I think, where you are once you get into the season. And if you do need to make a move, somebody brought up the name Drew Holiday in here. Maybe that's one. He's in Portland. They're going to suck. I mean, there may be some other guys around that could be a thing here that you could bring in. I don't think you need to make any major moves yet. But to me, Amen Thompson, Reed Sheppard, seeing what they bring to the table is what makes the most sense to me.
I'm with you on not making a move yet. Yeah, go into the season, see what you have in Reed Sheppard and Amen at point guard before you decide to do anything. Because for all we know, that might be a great option. There was an article written about how this could be almost a blessing in disguise, because you get to see now what you have in those two players in that role. And that might, for all we know, be better for this offense. We'll see. So I'm just not as high on those options. And Reed Sheppard, you know, he was counted on to be the backup this year. And now suddenly you might have to thrust him into being the leader of this offense while trying to go win a championship. I think that's a big step up. I think that's asking a lot from him right now. And I don't know if he's capable of doing that. So, unfortunately, I think it's a huge loss for the Rockets. It's not going to derail their season, but I do think it's going to make things a lot tougher come playoff time.
All right, coming up as we continue here, Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings in spring. Just the frustration, the thing that is so frustrating right now, I believe I've got it for Texans fans. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Clap it up here as we are in here live here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And it is a good crowd out here. Man, my man Dodger Mike's in the building. He's excited. The Dodgers, oh, I guess they did it again, Tyler. They won their division. And he's in here fired up.
We'll see. I'm going to tell you, Dodger fans are the worst.
We'll see what happens with their bullpen coming up in the postseason. But they clinch as that time of year is happening. The Mariners last night clinched the AL West, breaking that streak of the Astros. And then maybe the Astros have a chance to clinch as they are up 11-3 in the ninth inning. Behind Framber Valdez's turn back the clock performance today. But it is that time of the year, Luke.
Yeah, that time of year when everyone realizes how out of shape Clayton Kershaw is.
Was that him putting on the shirt?
Did you see that guy?
I saw your face.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
He took his shirt off on the field in front of everybody. And it's like, man, this is a Hall of Fame pitcher.
You are awful, Luke. God, Tyler, that way I wish you would have seen Luke's face. It was just mean. It was the best way that I could describe it.
My lunch almost came up.
I did. I'm not gonna lie. I thought that was the bullpen. I didn't know that was Clayton.
He's
that you
not
just
fat.
Said.
Well, I mean, he's big.
Keep the undershirt on.
Hey, let me ask y'all this: 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I mean, we can go off the rails. Do you all think, Tyler? You can go first. Do y'all think baseball celebrates too much? You think they do it too much?
I say no, just because of that 162 game season.
Yeah, they hit it at every turn, right? Mm-hmm. When you win whoever wins the 3-game wild card set, it is champagne rolling around.
Yeah.
They do it after every round.
Right. I mean, they haven't won anything yet. The worst is, like, for the teams, I think the Astros have gotten to this point now, but, like, when the Yankees do it. You know, if you're the Twins or somebody, celebrate a first round, okay, the Twins haven't had much playoff success. But when you're the Yankees having, like, a champagne shower because you won the wild card round.
Like they did the other – or just got in on the wild.
Yeah, or just got in. You clinched a playoff spot. They celebrate when they clinch a playoff spot. Then if they win the division, then if they win the first round, then the second – like. You know, act like you've been there before. So I'm all for celebrating small victories in life. I get it. You know, things are hard. Celebrate the wins. But in baseball, yeah, I think it becomes too much.
They get hats and T-shirts at every one of those, don't they?
I think so. That's what I always love, the fans who walk around with, like, the, you know, AL West shirt, especially for a year when you win the World Series. You know, that's the shirt you get.
Hey, what's that division the Rockets are in? Not the conference, the division. Are they in, like, the Southeast? Whatever
I,
it was,
I don't even know
they
anymore.
Won it. They should have went off last year. they should have celebrated winning that. Oh, my God. It gets a little aggressive to me. They're just out here banging out.
Yeah, celebrate a play. To Tyler's point, it's a long season. You want to celebrate winning the division. That's totally fine with me. But like you just said, it's every round of the – it's like you won the World Series every round of the playoffs. Like, the job's not done. You got to go win a World Series. Don't celebrate because you won the first round.
That is a great point. Like, the celebrations are on par to what the World Series celebration is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a difference. That is – yeah, it is a – It is very aggressive. It is very aggressive. All right. Listen, as we get going here on a Thursday, remember tomorrow the drive will be out live at Pop Stroke in Katy. So go out and hang out on a football Friday. You'll be able to get the fourth glass, the Area 45 commemorative glass, and you can have the full four glass set going out tomorrow, amongst other prizes, including tickets to a future Texans game, courtesy of our good friends with Houston Ford Dealers. So going out tomorrow, again, Football Friday, which gets going 2 o'clock tomorrow, Pop Stroke in Katy. All right, listen, the Texans may get this thing turned around, and trust me, I hope they do. This is not fun covering this. This is not fun, you know, not seeing the hope in many fans leave with each week that passes. So I hope they do turn it around. But I'm telling you what, fellas, I really don't care what happens moving forward. Luke, I will never understand how they came to the conclusion that they came to in terms of fixing the offense. From the offensive line to firing Bobby Slowik and replacing him with who they replaced him with, the whole thought process of how they replaced him, to keeping the entire staff virtually, with the exception of Bobby Slowik and Chris Strausser, promoting the the assistant offensive line coach to coach the offensive line, which was the clear part they needed help with. And everybody in and on that offensive line and how they changed it and what they brought in and the resources that they brought. I will never, ever understand how what I believe to be that many smart people. I think D'Amico's a really good football mind. I think Nick Caserio is a good football mind, right? We've seen some of the moves they've made. And whoever else was involved, I will not ever get over how they all sat in a room and said, all right, this is the plan of attack. And they arrived to the place they arrived. I just, all the way to Nick Chubb, all of that, I am floored by how they came to this scenario.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, my whole point all offseason was a lot of people were predicting the Texans to go 10-7 again this year. And so that'd be three straight years of no improvement in the win total. And for me, that's a loss. And those predictions were based off of the offseason. Like, I think the Texans are really wasting this opportunity or this window of having this young quarterback that you haven't had to pay yet. And I don't understand. It's not armchair quarterback. It's not hindsight. I was saying at the time, I'm sure you guys were as well, a lot of people on this station were. I did not understand the offseason and the moves of relying on a couple of rookies that weren't top draft picks to try to bolster your offense, or relying on, like you said, these guys that they brought in on the offensive line, where I like the moves, the initial moves to start the turnover on the offensive line,
I don't have a problem with moving on from Tunzel.
But then you have to have a good plan B, a good backup of, okay, we're going to move on to go get X, Y, and Z instead of what they ended up with. And then even the play calling. That was something I said at the time. You need a veteran play caller. You just went through this with Bobby Slowik, a first-time guy with the connection to D'Amico. Now you go a first-time guy with a connection to Nick Caserio. And I think that's been the biggest blunder of the offseason. I think it's been a disaster, and now suddenly people are wishing Bobby Slowik was back, which is something I never thought would have happened about 2 months ago. So I did not like it as it was unfolding in the offseason, and I certainly still don't get it now, the offseason plan and what they chose to do. I think the offensive side of the football, I think, is worse than it was last year, and it obviously wasn't good enough last year. So, no, you know, what are we doing?
And Luke, that's the part about it where I can see fans becoming very concerned, because the natural thought is, man, they said, D'Amico said, like, hey, we want to take this thing to the next level. We were at a certain place where Bobby Slowik took them, but we want to go to the next level. And then they sat down with that plan of attack with a quarterback still on his rookie deal, letting go of Laremy Tunsil, and then, you know, that money off the, you know, potentially off the books, getting cheaper there, with resources where you could feel where they could have filled in the draft and free agency. And they sat down and said, we want to go to the next level. This year, this is how we get there. And you got to be sitting there as fans like, good God. Well, are we going to allow them to do it again? Like, are they like, this is what they thought was the next level? Because let's just be honest, man. If you say it out loud, you would look at that and say, well, that's not going to be a team competing for, you know, the AFC Championship game. Like, no. Like when you look at the route that they looked at and said, this is the fit. That isn't, as you said, like, they're worse clearly offensively, and there's not a great sign to make you think that they're going to do it, that they're going to improve it from what it was last year. That is, I will never understand. I will never understand how those smart people, smart football people, sat in a room together and said, all right, we're going to let go of Tunsil. Bet, we got to change this thing. What are we doing? Let's bring in Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Ed Ingram, and Andrews.
Yeah.
and not draft but one offensive lineman in the second round. Like that is baffling to me, and I will never understand it. I will never, ever understand it. All right, coming up, T-Mill's best bets. I do not have to make a bet because T-Mill went off last night, and he's back, baby. He's back. He's back in the green, and we're getting close to being in the green for the week. We'll get you his best bets. I'm certain they will have a Thursday night football flavor to them. And look, Framber Valdez may have pitched his last game as an Astro. We'll talk about his legacy and get you updated on what's happening as they are still playing right now. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as people are coming out, enjoying their Thursday, winding down, shout out to you all who have been rolling. We've had a group. They've been here the whole time. We've had a group that's been rolling with us the entire time. I see you over there. We got old Spank and Spank Jr. in the building. They're doing their thing. And the family over there, they won the cornhole set. It's been a good time going on out here as we are live here in Spring, Buffalo Wild Wings, Thirsty Thursdays. There you go. Every single Thursday, you can catch The Drive on the road at a Buffalo Wild Wings near you. Tomorrow, as we go through another football Friday, it looks like we'll be out in Katy. The Drive will be live in Katy. Pop Stroke, come on out and hang out with us and do your thing. Tyler, you got a little. Hey, there it is. There it is. It's the Astros. Joe was forced to have to go get his closer, but they did win this game 11-5.
Ain't that it?
There it is. And you know what that means, Luke. Tyler needs two more wins. Tyler needs two more wins for his season win total bet to come through. He needs it bad. He needs two out of three in these last three games against the Red Sox. I'm sorry, against the Angels. The Tigers are playing the Red Sox against the Angels. They have now climbed to a half-game lead of the Tigers as they are facing a collapse themselves right now. They've lost nine in a row. So the Astros a half game out. If the Tigers lose, they will have the same record. Remember, though, the Astros need to finish above the Tigers because the Tigers have the tiebreaker right now. Framber Valdez, we'll get to him a little bit more here in a bit, but he had a fantastic outing. If this is his last start with the Astros, he went out the way that he pitched, I would say, the majority of the time, even though he frustrated the hell out of people. Framber Valdez goes out. The first thing he did was a selfless act of understanding his team needed a spark, so then he took them fake dreads out of his hair. But then he came out and goes 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, one run over those 7 innings, and he was fantastic today. And it was just, hey, fellas, you were not losing today. Jump on my back. And then, of course, they scored 11 runs as well. So a huge performance from Framber Valdez today, what may be his final start as a Houston Astro. Before we get to him, Luke, coming up behind us, remember Texans All Access. The Hall of Famer will be there to preview the Texans and the Titans game. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. And then after they get done, 7 o'clock, Thursday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One, the Arizona Cardinals will be hosting the Seattle Seahawks in an NFC West battle of two teams with winning records. So that'll be one to watch. And then T-Mill's best bets coming up here in just a bit. But getting back to Framber Valdez, Luke Morrow, who has been in great today for Clint. Luke, if this is his last start, which I think it will be, unless the Astros go on a playoff or get into a run and they get into the playoffs, because I just don't see them re-signing and bringing him back. I'd be surprised on that. It is weird, man. He has been a great player for this team since he's been here. And I've said this, and I said it earlier, and I said I think Yordan Alvarez is the only player for the Houston Astros since Framber Valdez has been here that has consistently been better at their job than Framber has. If you go look at it, man, this guy's got four or five top 10 Cy Young finishes. He has been consistent in a way, even though you don't think of him as that. But every year, you know this guy's going to be around 200 innings. If this is his final start, he's up above 190 this year. 200 innings, high strikeouts, and he's going to be there for 30-plus starts. And he's going to have an ERA anywhere from 2.5 to under 4, right? So, like, that is what he has been. And still with that, Luke, he has been, I would say, a big-game pitcher. Now, he's had some big duds in the postseason too, but he's had big starts and big game pitchers, and he's come up big in big moments. Who will forget that game five that he had in Boston when they needed him, and he goes 8 innings and shut him down, his whole run in 22. But still within that, helping them win a championship, going to another, being what I just said, it seems like he has a weird legacy, and he has a legacy that I don't know if Astros fans look at him in a positive light the way his resume reads.
I'm with you. I agree. It's all based off of really the last, 2 to 3 months.
Oh, that's ridiculous if that is what it is. Man,
I think that's what it is. I don't think we're having this conversation back in May this year. You know, even though we all expected him to be on his way out, and I think there was some, bittersweetness with that of him leaving. No extension. Astros not willing to pay for him. We're not going to get anything for him.
You think that affected him?
I think so. I don't know how much. But I think to at least a certain extent, the idea of no contract extension and, just no future in Houston, playing out the string this year, pitching this season, and then going to see what's in the open market. And I said earlier, and this might be ridiculous, but maybe it's just a coincidence, but that's when the slide began, was at the trade deadline, when you can make a case that, hey, if you're the Astros, like you're just going to let him walk this offseason? Maybe you trade him now and get something for him. And then
might have helped him.
Yeah. And when that came and went, and he's like, all right, I'm here for the next couple months, and then whatever free agency brings. Yeah. He's been, prior to today, he had been terrible. 7 ERA, and they'd won one of his 11 starts. And then he showed up and pitched great today without the hair. So maybe just a coincidence, but that happened at the trade deadline. So, yeah, I think that's all been part of it. I mean, he pitched really well to start the year, so I can't say it was a problem for him all year, and it might not have played a big role. But I think all players don't like that uncertainty or don't like the team being willing to commit to them. And I think just simply based off of the last 2 to 3 months, I think he knocked himself down a few pegs in the eyes of a lot of Astro fans, not just with the way he pitched, but all the other stuff that came with it, the dramatics throughout this season. Yeah. With the whole catcher situation, whether you believe it's intentional or not.
How he handled his frustrations with that.
Defensive alignment and backing up home and calling out people, in the post game and such. So yeah, I think a lot of people have turned on him based off of how he's carried himself on and off the field here throughout this season.
I hope time helps with Astros fans because, you don't win a championship without him. The 1-22,
yeah.
Like there was nobody else that you wanted on the mound. Nobody else that you wanted on the mound that year. You don't win a championship there. Like Verlander was struggling. Lance was coming back from injury and on his way to injury. Like he was your money guy. And his claim to me, the fame was 26 straight starts. Of quality starts, which was insane. Mm-hmm. Like that just sounds crazy to even think it's doable. I do. I hope time helps Framber Valdez. That is his second win since July 22nd today. Good guy.
Yeah, by the way, 2 months.
Tyler got on the horse today, baby. The Astros came through. He had been staying away from the Astros on bets. He wasn't even opening up their lines at the day. He's back, baby.
It's true.
I saw him. He had money on Framber on them strikeouts. And made some other money. Let's do it now, then. Let's head to it. As T-Mill last night, baby, he went 3-for-4 last night and then got 75% in the green. So that's a big, big day for him. as he's rolling, so you might want to listen to him. Let's get those best bets. What you got tonight?
Damn right. We are moving in the right direction, and NFL has been a specialty of sorts thus far, 3 weeks in. That's probably where we've found our most success here lately. Been killing the NFL bets. Here are your five best bets for tonight as the Seahawks are taking on the Cardinals in Arizona. First, I got Seattle money line. Seattle Seahawks to win this game outright. I got the odds at minus 130. If they're going to do that, the Seahawks are going to need to score some points. So I'm on the Seahawks team total over 21.5 points tonight for the Seattle Seahawks against the Cardinals. And then these last three, they're all player props. I'll give them to you real quick, and then we can talk about it. Kyler Murray, that little baby bag. You know what? I'll not stand this guy.
He's a former Aggie.
Yeah. Kyler Murray, under 21.5 completions tonight. Under 21.5 completions.
That's not a bad one.
And then two Seahawks for you. The running back, Kenneth Walker. I got over 52.5 rushing yards for him. And then Cooper Kupp, been very quiet, the veteran receiver. Not expecting him to go off tonight, but I do expect him to catch more than 3.5 balls. So Cooper Kupp, over 3.5 receptions tonight for the Seahawks. Those are your five best bets. What do y'all like, boys?
I think I like all those player prop bets. Had you lost yesterday and been in the red, I think I'd have been over that Cooper Kupp one. I would have been forced to jump on that. Fortunately for me, and you know what I'm dealing with after having to buy those floors and those doors. I fortunately Tyler came through
keep
last
fighting,
night,
man. Keep fighting,
and I have to spare that $100 I was going to throw on. Let's not lie. I'm going to throw $100, but whatever I was going to throw on there, I don't have to do. But I like the player props. Cooper Kupp, I like the most. And Kenneth Walker, too.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Seahawks.
Yeah, so you are. Yeah,
I like the Cardinals.
You're right.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals. All right, Luke, we appreciate you. You fantastic job, as always. Again, appreciate the Bud Light staff, Bud Light in general, for helping us out. The staff here, Buffalo Wild Wings in general, our guy Matt, great job, the engineer, keeping us on the air. Osita, promo staff, doing a great job. Tyler, of course, doing things back at the spot and holding us down as well as we will be tomorrow. Remember, Football Friday again. We will be in Katy. Pop Stroke, come on out 2 to 6 and enjoy yourself with the Drive. I am Ron, the show Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. A lovely day. Tyler, it happened again. My man came up, it happened again. Somebody else came to me, said they surprised I was black. Yeah, my man said, wow, I'd have never guessed it. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I ain't going to put you out there. I don't know where you're supposed to be. So I ain't going to put you out there. Hey, my man going to say, I didn't know you was black. I said, damn, what the hell? I mean, what the hell? I mean, how do I sound? I know I don't sound like a...
Pacific Islander?
Always seems to know the way.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.